Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
1 Chronicles chapter 15, that's going to be our main scripture for this morning. And this scripture has been speaking to me this past month and been going on this journey for quite some time and what it teaches. So I'm just going to read it. I should be on the screens behind me. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 1 to 2. There it is. It says this. I'm reading from the ESV version. David built houses for himself in the city of David. And he prepared... And he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, for the Lord had chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister to him forever. I'm just going to read chapter 16. It's not on there. And they brought in the ark of God and they set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, there's a lot of offerings there, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisin. They had a three-course meal. In other words, they had family lunch afterwards. Come on now. I want to speak to you today from the title of The Priority of the Priest. And before we get into this text, I want us to dive first into the context. You see, in this scripture, in this moment, this was actually David's second attempt to try to capture the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. For us who don't know, the Ark of God or the Ark of Covenant represents the presence of God. And so this was David's second attempt to get the Ark of God into Jerusalem, because the first attempt was a massive failure. What was that? Why was it a massive failure? Well, because the Ark of the Ark of God was mishandled. If we look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 and, you know, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we see Uzzah and Ahio was handling the ark incorrectly. They have put the ark on top of the cart and rode it along. You see, that was not the right way of the Lord. That was not the instructions of the Lord. And I want to encourage us and remind us, church, there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And I want to encourage us as disciples, as children, as sons and daughters of the Most High, let's make sure that we do the right thing in hosting the presence of God. Not manufacturing it, not faking it, not manipulating it, not forcing it, not making it mankind and calling it God's work. I don't want to build an ark and say that will do. I don't want to build an ark and say that will do. No, I want to honor his presence and give him reverence. Give him reverence. I want to give him a worship that is acceptable and live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Church, I want to encourage us, let us do the right thing by the Lord. I don't want to be too familiar. I don't want to be a professional Christian. Who's heard that before? I don't want to be too careless. But unfortunately for Uzzah, in this case, he was careless. He was too familiar. See, as they were riding the cart, the oxen stumbled. And to keep the ark from falling and tipping over, Uzzah placed his hand on the ark to hold it and keep it stable. 1 Chronicles chapter 13:10 says this. Once Uzzah did that, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. and he struck him down. Why? Because he put his hand to the ark and he died there before God. He mishandled the presence of God. He didn't do it the right way. He did it the wrong way. He was too familiar. He was too careless with the presence of God. And sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes we can be too familiar with God. Sometimes we can be too familiar with the presence of God that we end up slipping up thinking, hey man, it's all good. I've been a Christian for 10 years. I've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years. I'm not that old, by the way. And something slips up and thinking like, hey, we got this. We got this under control. I've done this my whole life. And we end up doing something wrong instead because we've been too familiar and we've been too careless. We end up doing the wrong things. Church, I want to challenge us. Let's not be irreverent to God. We need to have the holy fear of the Lord. There needs to be a fear of God in us as disciples, as children of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High. And I'm not talking about a fear that it's like, you know, we're shaking and trembling and we're terrorized. No, I'm talking about having reverence towards Him. I'm talking about having awe and wonder towards our wonderful Creator. I'm talking about having respect for God's name, having respect for His holiness, having respect and awe for His power, His authority, His wisdom. That's the holy fear of the Lord. And so after Uzzah died, King David was shook. He's like, oh, dang, man. Someone just died in front of me. So he's like taking a step back. I'm like, man, I better reevaluate this. But I love King David here because even despite that horrific, you know, moment, incident, it did not stop David pursuing the presence of God. As a matter of fact, after that happened, David asked himself, how can I bring the ark to me? Church, I want to encourage us, let nothing stop you from pursuing the presence of God. Is there any Davids in this house who are hungry for the presence of the Lord? Say amen. Come on. He says to himself, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So King David's like, okay, let me just take a step back. Let me reevaluate this situation. Or Vanya likes to call it the sicho. And so enter Chronicles chapter 15. David built houses for himself in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord. You see, by this chapter, by this time, David now understands there's a right way of doing things. David now understands that he understands now how to get the Ark of the Covenant to him, how to get the presence of God to him. In fact, verse 11 tells us this, then David summoned the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and the Levites, Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliah, and Abinadab, and said to them, you are the heads of the father, house of the Levites. Consecrate yourself, you and your brothers, said that you may bring up the ark of the Lord. So he appointed the Levites to bring up the ark of the Lord this time, not on a cart. Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. Church, I want to encourage us, let us be people that seek God according to his rule. And verse 14, so the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Now David now understands that the presence of God was not meant to be carried on a man-made cart and be pulled by a couple of oxen. He now understands that the presence of God must be carried on the shoulders of a group of consecrated people, the priesthood. Now that we know the context, I want us to focus on chapter 15, verse 1 to 2, our main scripture. specifically this verse because this verse has really shifted the way I did life. It shifted the way I do ministry, and it's something, as I mentioned before, that's been on my heart now. It's something that I've been going on a journey with. And there's just a couple of pointers that I want to share. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So first of all, we need to understand, this text, we need to understand who the Levites are. The Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? They are descendants of Levi, okay? Levi is the third son of Jacob. And so when the Israelites left Egypt out of slavery and stepped into their promised land, God had given other tribes a portion of land, an inheritance. So every single one of them had a portion of land, had an inheritance of land, except for the Levites. So Reuben got one, Simeon got one, Judah got one, etc., etc., except for the Levites. Their inheritance was the Lord himself. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 9 says this, "Therefore Levi has no portion or inheritance with his brother. The Lord is his inheritance." The Lord is his inheritance. The Levites were a tribe that was set apart for the Lord. The Levites would be the priesthood tribe whose duty was to minister to the Lord. Now, in the New Covenant, we too are called priests. In the New Testament, we too are called the priests. If you are a believer in Christ, then you are a priest in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen race." Here it is, a royal priesthood. That's you guys. "A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6 says this, "And Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." You see, in the new covenant, we are called the royal priesthood. And it's our duty, just like the Levites, to minister unto the Lord. So what does that look like? Well, number one, we need to prepare a dwelling place. Prepare a dwelling place. Verse 1 tells us this, "King David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it." You see, before the ark came to Jerusalem, before David asked for the ark to come to Jerusalem, the ark had been absent from Israel for a significant amount of time. Study shows it's been over 20 years since the presence of God was in the land of Israel. And David wanted to restore that. He desired the presence of God back to Jerusalem. So he prepared a place, not just for the Lord to visit, but for the Lord to inhabit. For the Lord to inhabit. He prepared a place. He prepared a dwelling place for the Lord. And we see King David's desire to build a dwelling place for God echoed in Psalm 132. It says this, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." I want to ask us a question. Are we preparing a dwelling place for the Lord? Are we preparing a dwelling place for the Lord? I want to remind us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God dwells in us. Are we honoring our bodies in such a way that honors the presence of God? Are we honoring our bodies in such a way that honors the presence of God? Are we living a life of repentance? Hello, somebody. Are we living a life of repentance? How many of us know repentance actually allows the Holy Spirit to dwell in us by removing the barriers of sin? Are we living a life of honor and integrity? A life of surrender and submission to our Lord? How many of us know Jesus is not just our Savior, but He's our Lord? And if you want to live a transformed life in Christ, let Him be your Lord. Does our minds and thoughts cultivate a dwelling place for a tent of God? Do your eyes see things and look at things that give him glory? Does my mouth speak? Does your mouth speak life and praises to him? Psalm 22 verse 3 tells us, God enthrones the praises of his people. When we speak words, does it invite the presence of God? Does it honor the presence of God? Does it glorify and magnify the presence of God? Does my work of my hand invite his presence to come? Does my feet go to places that magnify and glorify the Father? Church, I want to encourage us, let us be a people where the presence of the Lord is evident in our lives. Let us be a people where the presence of the Lord is evident of our lives because he dwells in us. I don't know about you, but I want to be a man after God's own heart like King David. That no matter what, man, how can the ark of God come to me? How can the ark of God come to me? In other words, how can the presence of God come to me? I'm hungry for his presence. I'm thirsty for his presence. And I know it's a journey. I know all of us here in this room, we're on a journey. Some of us have been Christians for 5 hours. Some of us have been Christians for 50 years. It's a journey. It's going to require discipline. It's going to require discipline. And although as a royal priesthood, it's our duty to create a dwelling place, to carry his presence, I want to encourage us, something that I discovered, or that although it's a duty, it ends up becoming a delight. That if we just stay faithful and disciplined in what God has called us to do, this discipline becomes a desire. And this desire becomes a delight. I don't know about you, but it's my desire to spend time with God. It's my desire to pray to the Lord. It's my desire to worship him. It's my desire to praise him. And it's my delight to do so. Number three, we need to carry his presence. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, for the Lord had chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord. To carry the ark means to carry his presence. To carry his presence means to live by the Spirit. And to live by the Spirit means to be in step with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25 says this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And I want to encourage us, for us to live a royal priesthood, we need the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need it. Or else everything else will be done out of carnal flesh. It will be out of our own strength. Ephesians 5:8 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, do not be filled of the things of this world, but be filled with the things of God. As a royal priesthood, we need to be filled with the things of God. For us to carry the ark of the Lord, for us to carry the presence of God, we also need to live a life of consecration. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, the same chapter, verse 14, says this, so the priests and Levites consecrated themselves to bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles as Moses commanded, according to the word of God. You see, the priests had to consecrate themselves before carrying the ark. They first had to set themselves apart before carrying the ark. And I want to encourage us that, church, as a royal priesthood, to live a consecrated life, it's not just a one-time thing. To live a royal priesthood means to live a consecrated life, but it's not just a one-time thing. I was like, I'm going to set myself apart, I'm going to fast, I'm going to consecrate myself for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, doesn't matter. But it's not a one-time thing. Living a consecrated life is not a yearly cake thing. It's a daily bread thing. Living a consecrated life is not a life event. It's a lifestyle. And so we got to keep saying yes to God. It's a conscious choice. It's a decision, conscious decision to say yes to God every morning. Yes to God every day. It requires daily death, denying yourself and picking up your cross. A living sacrifice. We're going to live a living sacrifice. If we want to live a consecrated life, we got to live a living sacrifice. We can build a tent, the most beautiful tent. We can build the most beautiful tabernacle. We can build the most beautiful temple. We can build the most beautiful church and have the fanciest altars. But if there's no sacrifice, there is no fire. If there's no sacrifice, there is no fire. And as we live a life of consecration, we live a life of carrying His presence. Amen? Thirdly, my last point is this, if I can invite the band to come up. And this is the priority of the priest. To minister to the Lord. To minister to the Lord. Verse 2 says this. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God. For the Lord had chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister to Him forever. To minister to Him forever. You see, the priority of the priest is to first minister to the Lord. Whether it's offering up a prayer or sing a song of praise or to serve God or to live according with God's commands, the priority of the priest is to minister unto the Lord. That is our priority as a royal priesthood. We are called first to minister to God. Exodus 28 verse 1 says, bring near to you Aaron and his brothers and his son with him, first among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 says this, the sons of Aaron and Moses, Aaron was set apart to consecrate the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him and to bless his name forever. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 8 to 9 says this, at the time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, to bless his name. To this day, therefore, Levi has no portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, as the Lord God said to him. You see, these calling of the Levites, these mandate of the Levites, this Levitical tribe, the priesthood tribe, it transcends to us believers now in the new covenant. As a royal priesthood, we too are called to minister to the Lord forever. I'm going to give you 1 Peter again, but in the Message version. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others the night and day difference that He made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You know what? We love God because He first loved us. And I'm reminded of a story in Mark when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus, Rabbi, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? What is the most important commandment? And in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus replies with this, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here's His answer to the most important commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. You see, Jesus tells us in this text what is the most important thing to Him. And the most important thing to Jesus, the most important thing to God, is for us as disciples, as children of God, as royal priesthood, to love Him. And church, us ministering to God is us loving Him. Now I want to remind us that it's not a Sunday thing. It's not a, hey, let's just go on Sunday and let's just minister and love on the Lord. No. Scripture tells us that the Levites were called to minister to the Lord forever. 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 Day and night. Forever. Non-stop. Non-stop. My ministering to the Lord does not depend on my emotions. My ministering to the Lord does not depend on my circumstance. My ministering to the Lord does not depend on my situation. It's not depend on my circumstance. It's not dependent on my health. It's not dependent on my marriage. Come on, somebody. It's not dependent on my family. It's not dependent on my business or my ministry. No, I'm going to minister to the Lord. Why? Because God Himself is worthy of praise and worship. He's worthy of all the glory. He's worthy of all the honor and majesty. My ministry to the Lord is dependent on who God is. Revelation 4:11 says this, "Worthy are you, our God, our Lord, our God, to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive power. For you have created all things, and by your will they existed, they were created." So church, we are called to minister to Him forever, because God alone is worthy. God alone is worthy to receive all our love. God alone is worthy to receive all our ministry. God alone is worthy to receive all our praise and our worship towards Him. God alone is worthy. Whether it's a season of fruitfulness, whether it's a season of barrenness, no, we're going to still minister to the Lord. Whether it's a season of valleys or whether a season of mountaintops, no, I'm still going to minister to the Lord. Because it is my priority, it is our priority as a royal priesthood to minister unto God. To minister unto God. So let the incense arise. Day and night, let the incense arise. Day and night, let my prayer arise. Day and night, let my praise arise. Day and night, let my worship arise. Lord, let all that I am be all about you. Day and night, day and night, day and night. Lord, I worship you day and night. Lord, I pray to you day and night. Lord, I spend time in your presence day and night. Lord, day and night, day and night, let the incense arise day and night. Lord, I offer it up to you. Lord, I offer it up to you. Lord, I offer it up to you. Day and night. That is our calling. That is our calling. To minister to the Lord forever. That is the priority of the priest. To minister to the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but no matter what season that I'm going to be in, whether it's a season of lack, a season of plenty, a season of good, a season of bad, I'm going to keep exalting Him. Come on, who's with me? I'm going to keep clapping towards our God. I'm going to keep praising Him. I'm going to keep singing to Him. I'm going to keep adoring Him. I'm going to keep crying to Him. Oh, come on. I'm going to keep shouting to Him. Because He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. So I want to encourage us, church. Will you step into your calling as a royal priesthood and do your duty to minister to the Lord? I don't know about you, but this duty is now, at first it was like, oh, it's a duty? Oh, man. Dang. As I mentioned before, that as we just stay disciplined, as we stay faithful, as we abide in the presence of God, as we abide in prayer, as we abide in the Word, this duty becomes a desire. And now my heart desires for His presence. Now my heart desires to pray to Him. Now my heart desires, my life desires to worship Him. My heart desires, my life desires to minister to Him. And when I do, it becomes such a delight. Because it is such a delight to be in the presence of God. It is such a delight to be in the presence of God. So church, will you minister to the Lord? Will you do your duty as a royal priesthood? Feel your call as a son and daughter of the Most High. Will you do what is the most important thing to Jesus and love on Him? Will you do the most important thing to God and love God with all your heart, love God with all your soul, love God with all your mind, and love God with all your strength? Will you minister to the Lord, church? Will you pour yourself out to Him? Will you pour your all out to Him? I know I do. I know I do.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.